Warning, this podcast may contain graphic violence, sexual themes, and bad language. If our language offends you, we apologize, but we do not give a fuck. Be mindful of your kids listening.
The Evil Never Dies Podcast.
Welcome back to the Evil Never Dies podcast, episode 224, Carl.
Yep, it is.
What's going on?
Black Sabbath, I think.
Black Sabbath. Yes, we are. Are you looking up stuff for?
Yeah. I'm looking.
We're a day late and a dollar short, too. Oh, well. At least we're getting it out to you, everybody. So we're actually recording on a Monday, and because we both had a pretty fucked up weekend. So we decided we're going to get on tonight, on Monday night, and do it for you. So, and I'm going to stay up late to edit it. So. You're very welcome.
It is what it is.
All right. We're going to be covering Black Sabbath's album Dehumanizer tonight. It's their 16th studio album. And it was recorded late 1991 and early 1992. And I'm sure we'll have some stuff to talk about that. The whole production of the album and all that. So, and it ended up being released on the 22nd of June 1992 in the UK and the 30th of June 1992 in the US. It was recorded at Rockfield Studios, Wales, UK. Genre, of course, is heavy metal. Length is 52 minutes and 17 seconds. Label IRS Records in the UK and Reprise Records in the US and Canada. Produced by Reinhold Mack and Black Sabbath. And that's all the stats, really.
That's all.
All right. Let's go over the band, I guess.
Well, it started out with Cozy Powell and Tony Martin. Cozy Powell on drums and Tony Martin on vocals is how this was supposed to go.
Yep.
And supposedly Geezer Butler went backstage at a Dio concert and they reconnected. And I guess they decided they wanted to be back in Black Sabbath again. I don't know. I guess Tony Iommi was open to it. Maybe, maybe not, because there's a lot of interesting facts during the recording of this thing.
Yeah, I thought, what's his name came after Ronnie was already singing. Tony Martin, and they just brought him in to see how he would do with it and played for a couple of days.
I don't think that's the story. I think the story is that probably Iommi wasn't too sure about this. And he was bringing Tony Martin in because I don't think he thought this was going to work with Dio, which Iommi was right about in the end. So that's my thoughts of this. They claim Cozy Powell broke his hip and was removed from the band, but I've even heard that he probably could have been in the band. But
even with a broken hip?
Well, there's a lot of whether he was really that hurt or not.
I was reading he fell off a horse or something.
Something. Dio was trying to bring in
Simon Wright on
drums. Simon Wright is the ex-ACDC Dio drummer, which Iommi would hear nothing of, which I don't blame him. Why the hell would Simon Wright be in Black Sabbath for? That would have made no sense. Yeah. Of course, a lot of things Black Sabbath did in that day and age didn't make a lot of sense, honestly.
Exactly. Yeah, so they ended up getting Vinnie Appice again. So basically, this was the Heaven and Hell
Mob Rules. The
Mob
Rules album, yeah. Lineup.
Yep.
I think Dio and Vinnie were at odds at this point. So maybe that's why Dio didn't want him back. Obviously, he wasn't in the Dio band, so something was going on.
Yeah, who knows? And who knows if Wendy had anything to do with it, too. So, you know.
It's very possible. But to answer your question, the lineup would be return of Ronnie James Dio to vocals, return of Geezer Butler to bass, Vinnie Appice back on the drums, Tony Iommi still in the band, and I think
Jeff Nichols
was still, yeah, there's some keyboards on this album, so
yeah,
I think he was put back off stage during this tour, though, which was bullshit, but it's whatever.
Yeah, he was more or less their go-to guy for the...
Well, he was a member of Black Sabbath since the early 80s. It's just, at times, they didn't want him on stage when they had Dio and Ozzy around.
Yeah.
They treated him sort of like crap, honestly. You know, he wrote the bass line for, which song? Was it Heaven and Hell, I think?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Jeff Nichols doesn't get half the credit that he should.
All right. Let's see here. Who did I say produced it? What's that guy's name? Oh, Reinhold Mack. Yeah.
Don't even know who the hell that is.
He is German record producer and engineer, best known for his collaborations with ELO, Queen, Sparks, Chinaski, and Black Sabbath.
Well, that's probably why I don't know who he is.
Yeah, it sounds like he did a bunch of 70s stuff.
Well, strange producer
this album. ELO was very popular back in the 70s and early 80s.
Yeah, but this was the 90s. And
yeah, I know. That's crazy, ain't it? Assistant engineers Darren Gaylor and Stephen Wisnett. This has been remastered and reissued a couple of times. The first one was by Dan Hirsch in 2008 and Andy Pierce in 2011. The cover illustration is by Will Reese. Photography by Mark Weiss Guy Wise. Oh. All right, let's go over the track listing here. Track one, we got Computer God. Track two, After All, The Dead.
And to me, that's the most Black Sabbath sounding song ever written.
It's my favorite song on this album, I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, honestly, Ozzy could have done this song just as good as Dio. It's absolutely the perfect Black Sabbath song ever written, in my opinion.
Yeah. Track three, TV Crimes. And that was a single they put out too, I believe.
Yeah, and I don't know why they released that as the single, because I think it's like the worst song on the album. I'm not a fan of that song.
Track four, Letters from Earth. Track five, Master of Insanity. Track six, we got Time Machine. And that was also on the, they did a different version of that for the Wayne's World soundtrack.
I think that's when they first announced the Dio reunion was for that.
Yeah. Then we got track seven, Sins of the Father. Track eight, Too Late. Track nine, I. And that's my
second. And that's actually my favorite song. I like it better than After All.
That's my second favorite song, so, on the album.
Well, that again, it's a very Sabbath-y sounding song.
Yep. Track 10, Buried Alive. And then, like I said, there was a different version of
bonus, Time Machine from Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that version's better than the album version myself.
Then the 2011 Deluxe Edition, the disc two, there was a bunch of there's some stuff on there from live stuff when Bill Ward was in the band when they first started doing Heaven and Hell. And there's lots of live tracks on there. Five or six of them.
That's interesting.
You ain't got that version?
I think it's on iTunes, but I wasn't real impressed with the live versions of them.
Well, if it was recorded back in 1992 on the fly, it probably ain't the best sounded.
It's not, from what I remember.
All right. I guess we can start talking about like some of the production and stuff of some of the crap that went on, because it took them 2 years to do this album with all the crap they had going on with it.
Like I said, I don't think Iommi really wanted to do this album anyway. That's just my opinion. I think he was doing it for the money and only the money.
Yeah. He was what Dio album came out before this album came out?
I think it was
Angry Machines, maybe?
No, it was Lock Up the Wolves.
Lock Up the Wolves, okay.
Which was a bad album, as we've covered before.
Wasn't his best.
But Angry Machines was not his best either.
Yeah. Well, what do you got anything, any little tidbits that you know about all this? Or
just what I already said, that Cozy Powell started on the drums and supposedly broke his hip and was replaced with Vinny Appice. Then they kept bringing Tony Martin in and out of the studio for whatever reason, I guess because they didn't think it was going to work with Ronnie. Well, and
it says here he was working on a solo album or something at the time, too.
Tony Martin was working on a solo album, yes. And he also, I think, got fed up with them sort of bringing him back and not. So he said eventually they just quit calling him on the phone.
Yeah.
So he was never fired from Black Sabbath. They just quit calling him
and he said
Ronnie left again.
He said he'd talked to Ian Gillan, and Ian Gillan asked him, "Hey, did they ever fire you?" and Tony Martin's like, "No, they never did." And he's like, "Me neither." He said, "Wouldn't they shit if we just came up on stage one day at one of their shows?" It's like, that would have sort of been maybe cool. Fuck.
It would not have happened as long as Dio was around.
Yeah, I know. They probably wouldn't have let him nowhere near backstage.
Well, he would be back in Black Sabbath as soon as this thing ended anyway, Tony Martin.
Yep.
It was like he never left.
Yes, it was.
I just remember when this album came out, I really wasn't that excited at the time for a Dio Black Sabbath reunion. I think I was more kind of looking for an Ozzy Black Sabbath reunion. Plus, I was real happy with the albums that Black Sabbath had been putting out. Now, Ronnie, on the other hand, had sort of hit the wall. But no, I was not a big fan of this album when it first was released. It took me a lot of years to get to where I really like it. And now I think it's one of the best albums in the catalog. It just took a while to grow on me.
Yep, I have to agree with you for sure.
There was a lot of mishmash. I think Geezer brought some songs from his solo stuff to the table. And
yep, exactly.
I honestly feel, like I said, some of these songs almost sound like they were written for Ozzy. So there was a lot going on with Black Sabbath at the time. And
yeah, Master of Insanity was Geezer Butler song.
It was.
But they changed the words, I guess. And let's see here. Computer God, too.
That song's terrible.
Yeah.
That and TV Crime. Why the hell? When they put TV Crimes out as a single, it just blew my mind in the 90s. It still does to this day. That's the that almost sounds like a Dio song more than a Black Sabbath song.
Yeah.
Really, that crap Dio was doing in the 90s, you know, that trying to sound modern with the modern lyrics. I wasn't a fan of that. But overall, this album's pretty strong. It's held up over time.
Yeah, I like it for sure.
Yeah, I've listened to it a lot. It's it just came at the wrong time, I think. And I don't know that any of them really wanted to do this reunion at the time. I think it was about money for all of them.
Yeah.
And it did not sell well.
Because it was, you know, 92. You guys had the grunge shit going on. Everybody's losing money to that, you know, Metal Axe.
It sold better than the Tony Martin albums just because it had Dio in it. But it just really didn't get the exposure. I mean, I remember they played here at the Bronco Bowl.
Yep.
I think Exodus was opening for them. And, I mean, the Bronco Bowl was full, but it's sort of sad that, you know.
Did you go to that show?
I can't remember if I was at that show or not. I've been trying to think of that for a week.
What, you don't have your ticket stub?
I don't know.
That was back still when you got a ticket stub.
I don't know.
Anymore,
can't remember.
Anymore, you don't even get a physical stub anymore.
Let's see here. I'm going to send you a text message while on air.
Going to send me a text message?
Yeah, it's very slow at moving, too. There.
Let's see. Oh, you do got it.
There's your ticket stub. You can't see it. It's too bright.
Was that general admission?
Probably. I think that's all they had.
Well, that's cool.
So anyway, like I said, I just don't think it was really time for a Dio reunion with Black Sabbath. And this just sort of was a failure. The tour didn't do very well.
Well, no, Dio quit before the tour was over with.
Well, no, the reason why Dio quit was Iommi and Geezer decided that that Black Sabbath was going to open for Ozzy Osbourne on his No More Tours final show ever.
Yeah.
And Ronnie said, I'm not doing it. And they're like, well, we've already booked it. And he's like, well, then I quit. And he did. He was gone.
Yeah. So, didn't he take Vinny with him?
Vinny played the two shows. But they tried to, this is a true story. They actually tried to get Tony Martin to fly in for this show, but he couldn't get a visa on such short notice. So of all people, they got Rob Halford to fill in.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy, ain't it?
And
I've heard that before.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's become legendary gig for Black Sabbath with Rob Halford as the singer. Yeah. They played a lot of different songs.
Was that one or two shows?
I think it was two shows for Ozzy. It was Ozzy's final show ever. And then, of course, at the very end, they all got on stage with Ozzy. And did they do Changes? They did a couple songs, which would lead to no reunion with Ozzy at this time. It totally, that's what was supposed to happen. I think Ozzy was going to quit his solo band and join Sabbath, but they couldn't agree. So Tony Martin came back and everything was just like he never left at that point.
Yep. It was Ozzy, Black Sabbath, and Sepultura in Costa Mesa at the Pacific Amphitheater.
By 1994, Black Sabbath would be releasing Cross Purposes with Tony Martin and Geezer Butler still in the band, but Vinny did leave. And one of these days, I'm going to cover that album in my Black Sabbath listing because that's another Tony Martin album I like. And I've just got word that they're actually supposed to release a box set with all the Tony Martin Black Sabbath albums this year. It's done. It's passed all the legal hurdles, and it's coming out this year.
Oh, cool, man.
So people are going to get to revisit that very cool era of Black Sabbath.
Well, how many albums was he on? Like six? Five
About
or six?
Five, maybe? I don't know. I can't count offhand. But that left Dehumanizer is sort of the odd man out in the Sabbath catalog for many years. But like I said, I think a lot of people have revisited it. And when they did the Heaven and Hell tour, they played a lot of songs from it. And I think that also got people reinterested in it. So good memories of Dehumanizer. It was just the wrong album at the wrong time with the wrong band, in my opinion. But that doesn't make it any better. I mean, any worse. It was a great album. There's a few weak songs on it.
Yep. Yep.
There's some pretty weak songs on it, but.
Yeah, I remember when it came out.
Are definitely the standouts of the album.
When it came out, it was pretty popular, though.
I don't remember it being that popular.
I was living out in California, and they played the shit out of it on KNAC out there.
It wasn't very popular in Texas, I don't think. Or on MTV or anything.
Yeah.
So, that's just my memories of it. It just seemed like the wrong place at the wrong time.
Except for that, whatever the Wayne's World thing made it pretty popular too.
That's what got it. I think the attention was the Wayne's World thing. Yeah. Without that, it might have done worse than it did, which is sad. But that's my opinion of Dehumanizer.
Did it even chart? Let me see.
Yeah, it did chart, but it didn't go very high. I don't even know if it went gold or not.
Yeah, it got up to 44 on the Billboard 200.
And 28 in England, I think.
Yeah. And then...
more popular in Europe, of course.
Yeah. And when the remaster, re-release, got up to 40 in the UK rock and metal albums.
Yeah, so it wasn't a very good... I mean, it did better than the last than Tear, the last Tony Martin album in the sales. But I mean, it drew the Dio crowd and the Black Sabbath crowd and a few curious people, I guess, along the way.
That Reprise Records that released it in the U.S. That, do you know that was founded by Frank Sinatra?
Did not know that. I just know they had a record deal with IRS, so I don't know how it ended up coming out on a different label. I'm assuming Wendy and Ronnie Dio had something to do with that one.
Well, Warner Brothers actually owns Reprise now. I wonder if they own part of IRS, too.
No, they did not. IRS ended up going bankrupt, and that's part of the reason why you can't buy these CDs, and they're not on streaming, because the company's been bankrupt for 30 years. And it took... Iommi years to get a hold of the masters and get this all the legal stuff out of the way. And of course, Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne probably were blocking their re-release as well. Although they didn't really say much about the Dio re-releases. They seemed okay with that. So I don't know. I don't even know if Sharon Osbourne would care at this time in 2024. It's probably off her radar.
the Dio albums, you mean?
The Tony Martin albums. I know this is supposed to be about the Dehumanizer, and I made it all about Tony Martin, but sorry. That's all I got.
All right. Well, what are you going to rate this at, Carl?
Well, like I said, it's got some really weak songs, and it's got about three really, really good songs. So if you take the good and the bad, I'm going to give this thing a 3.5.
That's exactly what I was going to rate it, a 3.5. Really, I only really like the...
Probably the same three songs I like.
Yep, exactly. Because
I think that's the only songs anybody does like from this album.
Yeah, the TV crimes and all that, I wasn't a big fan of that. I thought it was sort of cheesy when it first came out. It was
totally cheesy. Like I said, it felt more like Dio than Black Sabbath.
Exactly.
And the two Black Sabbath songs, like I said, they sounded more like Ozzy Black Sabbath than Ronnie did a great job singing on them, but I think Ozzy's voice would have fit him even better. Especially after all, I can just hear Ozzy sing that song. That would have been cool.
Yeah, After All the Dead, Dio's voice was very raspy in that song.
Because he's trying to sound like Ozzy.
Yeah.
Just think, put Ozzy's voice on that song and it would have fit perfect.
Hey, there's AI now that can do that.
Oh, okay.
I was going to maybe try to check that out and play with it and do some crazy shit with it.
Okay.
ChatGPT, man. All right. Well, if you ain't got nothing else, I guess that's all we got for Black Sabbath Dehumanizer. So since it's Monday, I'll probably be back Thursday with the midweek. We're a day behind this week, so.
It's whatever. I don't even know what next week's episode will be.
I don't know. Start looking for something. Pick something off the list.
I don't really care.
All right, I'll pick something. You've picked the last two movies, so I'll pick one, even if you don't like it.
If I don't like it, I'll tear it up in the mood I've been in here the last few weeks.
I'll make you watch something that you probably won't like. How's that sound?
I could care
less. That ought to be fun.
I could care less.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching, listening. Check us out on all the social medias. Hit that like and subscribe, and we will talk to you. Well, I'll talk to you Thursday. And say goodbye to Top of Carl's Head. Stay evil, everybody.